Y'all hear me okay? Good, good, good. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter number 12. How many of you, if I was to ask the question tonight, how many of you feel like in your lives that you have arrived? Anybody? Anybody could raise their hand. You're all knowledge, all, you got it down, right? Well, I mean, some of you could. I've seen where people, they've got their routine. They head to Martin's every morning, drink their coffee, eat their steak, egg, and cheese biscuit, go back home, take a two-hour nap, get up and eat lunch. They've arrived. They've got to the point where they got life figured out. Amen? I'm here to say tonight that I'm a work in progress. How about y'all? I'd rather be his workmanship and a work in progress than I would be arrived, wouldn't you? Amen. So I want to read a verse before we get into our main text tonight, and I want to read this verse because I want this in the back of your mind. Now, I may say a thing or two this evening that somebody might not agree with, that might be a little bit different than what the world or the culture of our society would have you believe today. All right? Don't get nervous, Brother Josh. It'll be okay. I'm not even going to look at him. He's probably, I say something like that, he starts getting a little nervous. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the Bible says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we get to stand behind your word. I pray, God, Lord, that your Holy Ghost would rise up tonight. Lord, help me, Lord, to decrease so that you may increase. Lord, that you would be glorified and lifted up in this service tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd give me the right words to say. Give us what we stand in need of, and we'll give you all the honor and glory and praise for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about the renewing of your mind. And remember, I said a little bit ago, the first verse that we read, that the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. But our society and our culture would teach you to follow your heart.
Yeah, you're right.
Huh. I'm not trying to say something to offend anybody, but I want you to realize that there is a renewing of your mind that must take place when Christ moves in. Let me go ahead and say another one. It'll make some of you nervous tonight. I've heard preachers and teachers all my life talk about how where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst. Boy, didn't nobody say nothing there, did they? That's Bible. That's what it says. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst. And most Christians, they think, well, we got to have two or three to get together, and he'll be in the midst. Well, let me tell you something. One, two, and he's in the middle. When God saved me, he moved in. He moved in. When he died on the cross, that veil in the temple was torn. It gave me direct access to God. Amen? Yay. Hey, listen, what I'm telling you, I want to comment on them storms that y'all was talking about. When them storms rise, if your mind is renewed, then you can make it through the storm. It doesn't matter how bad it is or how much is going on. Listen here. when you begin to do something for the Lord, make no mistake, the adversary is coming. And he's coming with everything that he can. He come to Job with a whirlwind, right? What happens in a whirlwind? Y'all seen the movie Twister, hadn't you? Signs are going everywhere. Tractor trailers are flying. Cows are going all over. There's a lot going on in that thing, right? Remember when Peter stepped out of the boat and started walking on the water, a great storm rose up. There's a lot going on when that boat starts shaking. Hallelujah. And that water's all crashing around, going on. There is a lot going on. The adversary wants to get your mind off of the Father. And that's what he wants. And if he can do that, then he's won. You give the Satan an inch and he'll become a ruler. And that's absolutely what happens. When we talk about renewing our mind, the word renewing implies a continual process, not a one-time event. In Scripture, renewal is an inward work that produces an outward change. God does not begin with behavior. He begins with the way that we think. Amen? Don't follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Your heart's desperately wicked. Your heart's where emotions come from. Your heart's where desires come from. Your heart is where it's happy, it's sad, it breaks, it mends, it does all these things. But listen, all the things that we do from our heart comes from our mind. Here's another one for you. Let me go ahead and answer that age-old question, which come first, the chicken or the egg? Y'all are like, what in the world is he talking about? Was it the chicken or the egg? Well, the chicken had to produce the egg, right? And it took, I'll just say this, our mind is what tells our heart to beat. Our mind tells our heart to beat, which produces that life-giving substance, blood, that goes to our minds. Our minds have to have it. Our heart has to tell our mind. Our mind has to tell our heart to beat so that we can live, right? So your decision-making is up here. Your decision-making to constantly whether or not you're going to sin or follow God is made up here. Long before your actions ever take place, there's a thought that runs through your mind. How is it that we fall short? Y'all ever thought about that woman that Jesus told that day? He said, go and sin no more. Y'all ever thought about that? How do you do that? You keep your mind. Your mind is renewed and it stays on the Father. Renewing the mind means replacing worldly patterns of thinking with God's truth. Worldly patterns of thinking. Follow your heart. Chase your dreams. There's a big push with young folks now. I see parents and I think this is a great thing for self-esteem. I was brought up in a home where my parents thought I was the best thing since sliced bread, right? And rightfully so. We all think our kids are the best thing since sliced bread, right? And my parents, they pumped it in me that I was good. I was golden. And every time I messed up, my mama would call the school and she would raise Cain with the school because her boy didn't do none of that stuff that they was talking about doing. Amen? Her boy didn't do that. That's how we feel. That's what we think, right? Well, listen here. Our hearts are wicked. Our hearts are wicked. And when we follow our heart, we'll find ourselves in trouble. So worldly patterns of thinking we need to replace with God's truth. God's truth. Allowing Scripture to shape our values, attitudes, and decisions. Attitudes and decisions. Let me just park right on that word attitudes for a few minutes. If y'all go to the Mexican restaurant or the buffet or wherever it is you go and eat, and that waitress or waiter doesn't bring your food just right, please don't tell them that you're a member of Gateway Baptist Church when you tell them what's on your mind. Amen? Just don't tell them you're a member of the church at all. Hallelujah. You know how this renewing of your mind works. Let me just give you a personal example. Used to, I've witnessed growth within my own life in the last few months. used to, if you were behind me and you blew your horn, my Christianity got up and walked, stomped right out of my soul, and the devil moved in. I'm going to tell you what I told you. I will tell you, if you blew your horn at me, I'd tell you what I thought about you. Amen? Y'all ever done that? The other day, old boy blew his horn at me, and he wanted to go around me, and I said, "I'm sorry, sir, I didn't mean to hinder you," as he went on. How about that? That's growth. That's renewing of your mind. Yeah. That's growth. Renewing of our mind means submitting our thoughts to the authority of God's Word. It also means Christianity is not only about what we do, but how we think. A lot of how we think, right? Some of y'all, we think about things that we ain't got no business thinking about. Amen? When that person don't act right, and we cast judgment on them, and we think how dirty, rotten scoundrels they are, right? Or how sorry that waitress is because she brought you unsweet tea instead of sweet tea. Y'all all been there, nod your heads. Don't leave me up here by myself, right? Renewing our minds means that teaches us that Christianity is not only what we do, but how we think. Most defeated lives traced back to an unrenewed mind. A mind that a person has not allowed God's authority into. It also, salvation changes our destination. Renewal of our mind changes our direction on how we get there. Amen. In Proverbs chapter number 23 and verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Right? Here's some dangers that I want to talk about when it comes to conforming to the world. When it comes to conforming to the world is constantly discipling our minds. It's constantly discipling our minds through our culture, through media, through society. It shapes our beliefs subtly. Very subtly. Right? It almost sounds good. The universal religion and universal church that says that you have to love everybody. They use the key words. You need to love everybody. I have to love you regardless of what you do. I have to love you and allow you space in everything that we do if you're doing things that you know are ungodly. They use the right word. I have to love you. Right? But there's one thing that comes with love that we can't ever leave out. James teaches us this very clearly, that you can't have that love without truth. Truth and love are inseparable. All right? Our society today wants us to love everybody. Forget about doctrine. Forget about the truth. We have to love everybody. Let's be nice. Let's not offend no one. And listen, I don't want nobody to ever be offended. But I also need to tell you the truth. Why? Because it's not just your life down here that depends on it. I stand here and I talk to you about renewing of your mind, but a while ago I'm sitting over there and Elizabeth's holding my hand and I'm shaking. My hands are sweating. Why? Because I'm not up here to look good, even though that comes easily for me. Amen. I'm not up here just to look good. I'm up here because I want to help you and teach you something that is very important that society does not want you to know. If you will renew your mind when those storms come, that peace that passes all understanding settles within your wicked heart and makes it to where you can make it through that storm. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There ain't nothing else like it. There's a love that passes all knowledge. is what that teaches us in Ephesians. A love that passes all knowledge, that we can't figure it out. When the world is crashing all the way around us, the waves are crashing high, the storm has brought our house down, or it's hurt one of our loved ones. Hey, there's a peace that can flow within your veins that comes from the Father. But you won't know it if you don't know Him. How do you get to know Him? How do you get to know Him? You get to know Him through His Word. Worldly thinking feels normal, but leads us away from God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." That's a tough one, ain't it? Especially for us alpha males. That's a hard one, because we like to figure things out. When things are broke, we like it when our kids bring us something and say, "Hey, figure this out. Austin's suspenders broke on Sunday morning, and I was bound and determined I would have been late for church if I'd have had to be, but them suspenders was going to be fixed." Amen? Y'all do not want to know what we would have had to have went through if them suspenders didn't get fixed. I won't tell you, but I'm going to tell you this, that they would have been a storm rising at home that you don't want to deal with without God. Amen? But listen, as a smart alpha man, I want to fix that problem. Sometimes I reach out and I try to do it on my own, Brother Josh. And there's sometimes that there's things that go on in our lives that we don't have any control over. And we can't control those things. So what do? Do you throw your hands up in the air, or do you just keep trying to figure it out on your own? And you keep losing, you keep falling, it don't work. Hey, with a renewed mind, you can know that you can trust in Jesus. Lean not on your own understanding, but God will bring you through. He said He'll make a way. Think about it. Think about what happened to Peter and all of them. Peter, he tried to start thinking on his own, didn't he? Yeah, and he had some issues. He had some issues that he had to deal with. Thank God for Paul. I tell you, you think about Paul being shipwrecked, beaten several times, stoned to death, basically. Right? He didn't know whether he was in his body or out of his body when he got to go talk to the Lord, and the Lord told him some things that he couldn't say. Remember that? Huh? I would almost venture to say that most of us, as Christians, I'm not going to leave y'all out on this boat by yourself, but most of us as Christians, when the waves begin to crash, when finances don't go as far as they need to go, or a loved one hurts us in a manner that we don't like, or a church member says something that offends us, I would venture to say that the majority of the time we'd get mad. We'd get mad and we'd try to fix the problem on our own. Well, I'll show them, or I'll teach them a little something. Is that what we need to do as being a Christian? Absolutely not. What does the word Christian mean? To be a Christian means to be Christ-like. How do you know how to be Christ-like if you don't know what Christ was like? Amen. Y'all can write that down. The Lord gave me that earlier today. How do you know how to be a Christian unless you get deeply rooted in God's Word and you allow God to get into your mind and cultivate your ground and make it soft and make it to where you can use all the biblical representations. He takes your mind and He puts it on the potter's wheel and He begins to form it. Amen. And He begins to shape it and make it what needs to be and how it needs to be, if you'll just allow Him. Get out of the way. Get out of the way and let Him do what He needs to do. That is the renewal of the mind. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men." Right. That's what I expected. "After the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Colossians 2:10 says, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and what? Power. All principality and power. Y'all ever talk to Christians that walk around like they got the mully grubs? Every time you talk to them, you ask them, hey, how you doing? Oh, man, boy, I tell you what. It's rough. It's rough. Boy, I tell you, the devil's about to wear me out. Listen here, if the devil decided to wear you out, he's going to wear you out. Amen. He's going to wear you out. Yeah. Hey, listen here. Job. Just go back and read Job. And I'll teach you everything you need to know right there. You can do anything you want to, devil, to him, but kill him. And man, I tell you what, if I lost one of my four kids, not to mention all of them, hey, I don't even know if I care if I did know the end of the book and know that I was going to get twice everything back that I had. If I lost just one, I think my mind would go nuts. Well, my heart would break. My heart would break. I know it would if I lost everything that I had. I know where I stand. That's why I say tell you tonight, listen, I'm a work in progress and so are you. We have not arrived, but we need to allow the Lord to get into our minds and cultivate our minds and put this world out of it. Get this world out of it. Okay? Conformity is passive, not intentional. You don't have to choose conformity. It happens naturally. A believer must actively resist. This is the funniest thing in the world to me. I used to pray. No problem. No problem. Then I started reading my Bible every day. And between God and my wife, they begin to mold and make me into what they wanted me to be. And I begin to get closer to the Lord. Now, my prayer closet might be a little different than y'all's. My main prayer closet has two wheels. My other prayer closet has four. It's that ram out there, or over there at the house. So I get in there in my truck, and on my bike, and I start praying to the Lord. Watch this. Conformity comes natural. If you begin to stay and you hang around with things in the world, it's going to seem easy to you, right? It's going to seem easy to you. But the moment you begin to do something for the Lord and you begin to pray, listen here, I get hiccups, heartburn, I start coughing, my body just starts rejecting that prayer. Hey, y'all, that don't happen to y'all? I'm telling you, I'm yawning, eyes watered, everything that can go physically wrong with me begins to start falling apart all of a sudden just because I'm praying. You got to resist that. You got to work through it. You got to work through it. That's what the renewing of your mind will do. It'll be like, Lord, I talked to Jesus just like I talked to some of y'all. I just talk to him regular. I don't pray in no tongues or I don't pray in no Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this day. I don't put on no show when I'm praying. I pray to God like I'm talking to you tonight. Hey, and when I hiccup, I'm sorry, Lord. We'll work through this. We'll work through this if that's okay. That's okay. God likes that. He likes genuality. He likes for you just to be yourself. He likes for you to submit yourself to Him so that He can do a work in you. We are His workmanship. Allow Him to work on you. Allow Him to work in your mind. Don't let this world fill your mind so full of junk that you don't have room for Jesus. Amen? Amen. There's power. Well, let me read this. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Every man a liar. I don't know about y'all, but that every man means you. 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 Y'all too. You too. Every man. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true, because Google will lie to you. Amen. Let God be true. Amen. And even though my ChatGPT is a KJV dude, he'll lie to you. Yeah. Hey, man. Your school teacher will lie to you. Your boss at work, he will lie to you. That's funny. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. I have a new motto that I'm going by. Don't trust and verify. Huh? What's society teach you? Trust, but verify. I ain't trusting you because God said every man's a liar. That's Bible. Again, I don't want nobody to get offended, but that's just some of the things that our world and our society, they teach us. And they begin to subtly change and work in our minds and makes us think things that we really don't have no business thinking. There is power in a transformed mind. Transformation is an inside job. By be ye transformed, God is the source. Renewal changes desires before it changes behaviors. Y'all ever heard anybody say that? I've said that before in my testimony. I got saved when I was 14 years old. Pardon me, Billy. I don't know exactly what time it was or exactly what day it was, but that's okay. I know that I was 14. It was sometime in the spring, in the fall time, because I remember this. When I was baptized in October, we done it in a lake, and I like to froze to death. So I do know that it was late in the year. Okay? Doesn't really matter, though. The Lord saved me. And renewal changes our desire before he changed our behavior. So the day that I got saved, I still continued to do the things that I desired. Y'all did too. My desires changed, though. Long before my behavior changed, my desires changed. There's like 48 things that happen. If you talk to some of them theologists, they will tell you that there's like 42 things that happen when you get saved. Okay? We can go through and list them if you want to. It really doesn't matter to me. But there's one thing that I know, that when God moved in, the things in my mind and in my heart, my desires changed. That's why James told us that he would give us the desires of our heart. Why? Because, well, your desires in your heart changed. If Jesus really moved in, you really had an encounter with Christ, hey, your desires are going to change. Let me tell you something. If you're walking around here and think that God can't see what you're doing or hear what you're saying, you are dead wrong. He knows everything. Listen here. If the hairs are numbered on your head, which would be pretty easy for you, brother, but if the hairs are numbered on your head, you too, Jeff, then don't you think that he knows what you're thinking, what you're saying, what you're doing? Absolutely he does. He knows these things. Now, why don't you act like it? We don't act like it. We just do like everybody else. When I was a kid, I acted like I wanted to when Mom and Daddy wasn't around. When I'm an adult, as long as Miss Elizabeth's not around, hey, I'll do whatever I want to. I'll sit on the couch, I'll sit there and won't do nothing. She'll come home and get mad. She'll be mad as a hornet. Right? And I know it. That's the dumb thing about it is I know it. I know that when she gets home, she's going to be mad as a hornet. But I will sit there on my fat tail and scroll through Facebook or play my game. It don't matter. We do that. Why? Because we're not worried about the consequences. We don't worry about them. Right now, this is what I want to do. And the boss ain't here. Honest to God, that's our mentality. That's our mentality when it comes to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, that's the way we think. If he was right there behind us and you were sitting down not doing nothing and something happened, you'd get your tail up. Huh? You'd get up, wouldn't you? You'd act a little bit different. When mama's home, you act a little bit different, don't you, Brother Josh? You're right. Amen. Our minds They have to be renewed to get those desires to change. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed," listen here, "day by day." Remember what I said, this is not a one-time event. It's not a one-time event that hey, you know what? You can come up here and you can pray, "Lord, renew my mind," and get up and I have arrived. Right? That's not how it works. Paul said, "I crucify the flesh daily." I crucify the flesh daily. That means, that to me sounds like that every day he had to wake up and he had to crucify the flesh. He had to put down his selfish desires. He had to put down his carnal thoughts. He had to nail all of those things to the cross day after day after day after day. That's what we have to do as Christians. Day after day. Renewal is ongoing. It's not instant. Day by day. Day by day is the renewal. Not emotional hype, but spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline is what it takes. It just doesn't happen. Remember, conforming to the world comes natural. Being wicked, your heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. To do wicked and evil things is easy and natural. Why do you think it's easy? When somebody says something that offends you, you get so mad. Yeah. Because it's easy. It's natural. It's natural to get upset and get mad and let your emotions take over. But whereas a renewed mind says, "Hey, maybe I should extend some grace and some mercy here. God extended you grace and extended you mercy." And listen, this ain't easy. It ain't something that comes easy. It takes spiritual discipline. It is a metamorphosis that takes place. I love my dictionary. Actually, Google. What is the word that means this? Metamorphosis. Same life, new nature. "Behold, I'm a new creature in Christ." Some people profess to be new creatures, but they look the same. Nothing changes. They act the same. They talk the same. Nothing absolutely changes. They walk through this world and they don't look like a separated people. They don't look out of the ordinary. Huh? Paul said, "I count it all joy to suffer." Think about it. How do you think he went through getting beat 7 times? Y'all think about that for a second, Gary. I'm about to whoop the tar out of you. And when I get done, you better get up and go preach the gospel and don't give me no lip. Huh? That's exactly how we are. What's going to happen is we're not going to get up and go preach the gospel. We're going to quit going to the church. We're going to go to another church because somebody made us mad or they hurt our feelings. Or that family member that desperately needs God that you should extend grace to and mercy to and love and long-suffering and kindness and temperance and all of those things that come along with having the Holy Ghost that lives within you. All of those things you should extend it to, but instead you get mad, lock yourself in your house, and you don't talk to them for 2 years. Huh? What happens if in that 2 years the Lord calls them home and they don't know Jesus? Now you've done missed an opportunity and a person's went to hell. Yes, I like to have a little bit. I like to make you smile. And I like to have a good time preaching to God's word. But here's the truth, the hard truth and the brutal reality is if we don't extend that grace and mercy, have a renewed mind where we're teaching others how to make it through this wicked, sinful world that we live in, then they will die and go to hell. And it'll be on your hands. It'll be on your hands. Oh, I think about it. I think about all them people that used to honk their horn at me and I told them that they were number one in my book. I think about that. I think about that time. My neighbor, She sits right back there on the very back row. Up until 6 or 8 months ago, she didn't even know where I went to church. That's partially because I didn't like her. She sued me back years and years ago for not paying my rent. And I cast judgment on that lady. But you know what? I love her now. I don't care how wicked she is. I'm just kidding. She ain't wicked. She's a sweet lady. You know, I was a teenager. And when you don't pay rent, there's consequences. When you don't do things, there's consequences. Right? If you don't have that renewed mind, there's consequences. You're going to get off in a storm somewhere, and you're not going to know how to handle it. You're not going to know what to do. So that peace that passes all understanding, you ain't going to have it. There's things that happen in our lives. Listen, depression, anxiety, all of these things that happens to us. If we don't have a renewed mind, we will not be able to handle them. God's word is our tool for renewal. This is how you handle it. You get in God's word. Scripture brings light to the mind. Psalms 119 verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Understanding unto the simple. God's word will reprogram your thinking. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God," listen to what I'm about to say, "that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." He told that lady to go and sin no more. How do you do it? You bury your nose in God's word. You begin to find out His will for your life. You begin to find out, hey, here's another one that I don't like. Christians talk, they run around here. They all trying to come out all at the same time, sorry. Christians run around here and they talk about how, like I said, they got the mully grubs and they're not worthy. Listen, my Bible teaches me that God give me the power to become sons of God. Huh? Amen. I wasn't worthy, but I am now. He said, "I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the Prince of Peace. I'm a child of the Savior." Amen? All that shame and reproach and things that happened in the past is in the past. Jesus died on the cross. He nailed that to the cross. Hallelujah. I ain't got nothing. Now I'm a child of God. My Father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Y'all okay? Y'all got the same God that I got? If that's a fact, then be a son of God. Do you, Brother Dorsey, do you just not know your daddy? I would venture to say that you probably know your daddy like the palm of your hand. You know the things that you can say that'll make him mad as a hornet. Right? You know the things that you can say that'll make him tear up. You know him. Do you know God that well? Do you know God good enough? Do you know God's will for your life good enough that you can be like Paul and say, "Hey, follow me as I follow Jesus." Doctrine corrects beliefs. Traditions given to us by men. Men's traditions. If there's not doctrine to back it up, then I ain't got no use for it. No way. And that makes me angry sometimes when I see men, supposed men of God, they say things and they do things that they know are wrong. They know are wrong and they say, "This is doctrine." That's not the case. If it ain't in here, it ought not to be nowhere. Amen? Amen? Amen. Reproof exposes lies. Reproof exposes lies. Correction redirects thinking. Yes, sir. Huh? Tell me that ain't some truth right there. Correction. How many of you have ever had that old belt or stick or whatever it was get a hold of that hind end? And after that, let me tell you something. I was whooped one time by my granddaddy. My granddaddy whooped my hind end one time. I lived 19 years of his life. In those 19 years, that man whooped my tail one time. After that, whatever he said was gospel. I didn't care. I didn't care if it was right, wrong, indifferent. It didn't matter to me. I didn't do something that he said, and he tore me up with one of them. Y'all remember when old Flyswatters used to come with that metal coat hanger type thing? He whooped my tail at Flyswatter, and then when the little flap fell off, he kept whooping. He kept whooping. I'm telling you, he kept whooping where I didn't want to sit down, brother. I mean, this was rough. And I swore, I prayed to God. I said, Lord, if you'll just let me get through this, I promise you I will never disobey him again. Hey, some of you need some flogging. Hey, some of you need God to get a hold of you and say, hey, look, just pay attention. Listen to what I'm telling you. Let him that hath an ear, let him hear. If you got ears, listen. Listen to what God's telling you. Renew your mind. A key point here is you cannot renew the mind without God's word. Because your friends and family and society and social media, news media, your government, all the people that are above us, they lead us down the wrong path. All of us are like sheep gone astray, and how easily we are taken astray. Amen? The only way that we can do this is if we strengthen our minds, we allow God to renew our minds through his word. First thing is we have to feed the mind with the truth. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, I'm not up here to preach prosperity preaching, right? I'm not going to tell you that if you do everything by the book that you're going to have lots and lots of money and not ever worry about where your next bill's coming from. I can tell you this, based on the word of God, that you will never, ever beg for bread. That's truth. That's doctrine. That's Bible. Right? So if I know that in my mind, I'm not worried about worldly things. I'm placing my trust in my Lord and my Savior. If I lost my job tomorrow, I'd be upset about it because my job's kind of made me a little bit lazy. Yeah, it's an office job. I don't have to travel no more. I like it. But if I lost it tomorrow, I'm going to make a few phone calls, and Monday I'm going to be working. I'm not worried about it because I know that God will provide for me. And it may not be as good as it was, or it may be better. Who knows? Who knows? But I'm like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It don't matter if you throw me in that fire or not. My God will deliver me. And I know that. I know that. And you can too. You can know that without a shadow of a doubt when the life begins to crash against your hull. And things begin to fall apart. Loved ones that we love begin to have problems. That phone call or that doctor visit that changes your life, you can have a peace that passes all understanding. That time when it's coming for all of us, when we have to lay on our own deathbed, there's a peace and a grace that God will give you. Do you know that? Do you know that? Guard what you allow into your mind. Amen. Start your day with Scripture. Yes, be honest with me right quick. First thing you do in the morning is wake up, grab your cell phone, and start flipping through Facebook. Anybody ever do that? Nope. Well, good for y'all. You righteous folks. I tell you what, man. That's okay. And so, how many of you in here, first thing you do is get up. Let me just be honest with you. Head on out to the back porch, light up a cigarette, and I look at my bank account. Yeah, it's it. Up until I started reading this about renewing your mind. And then I got up that next morning and done that, and I started studying on this. The next morning I got up and I started feeling a little bit convicted about that. I kind of felt like that, you know what, maybe I ought to open up my Bible app first and read it. Even before I light that other thing up. The thing is we got to start packing our mind full of the Scripture. And we got to put God first in our life. Lay off the selfish desires. Put those your desires to the side, because it's all about Him. When you approach this book with it's about you and your salvation, you automatically approach this book with a sense of entitlement. It's all about you. And it's about, hey, listen, God saved me. Right? God saved me. What he did for me. Absolutely not. What he did for Him. So that He could be glorified. So I will lift Him up and draw all men unto me. Yeah. I'll be lifted up and draw all men unto me. It's all about Him. This whole book from end to amen points to Jesus. Amen. You just get to benefit from it. Amen. How about that? Amen. Gentiles. Yes, sir. How about that? You wasn't in the original plan. Talk about grace. We live in that dispensation of grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for the least that I could do is get up and Him be first on my mind. The least that I could do is open up my Bible first thing in the morning. Amen. Amen. Replace lies with God's truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Identify ungodly thought patterns. Amen? Identify them within yourself. Listen, there's nothing wrong. We just talked about it's okay to get corrected. Because if you get that good lashing that one time, hey, that problem's solved, because you won't ever do it again. Right. Amen? Amen? Amen. There's nothing wrong with correction. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, look, I got a problem. Lay that problem at Jesus' feet and don't do like Lot's wife and pick it back up and talk and walk the other way. Right. Don't do that. Yep. Lay it at Jesus' feet and leave it there. Amen. Get in the Bible and read what God says so that you know how to be Christ-like, because you know what Christ is like, not what you think. Amen? Set the mind on godly things. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Boy, howdy. Worldly possessions. You can't take none of them with you. This is where me and my wife are different. I'm a little bougie when it comes to my vehicles. She'll drive anything. She will drive anything. As a matter of fact, I feel bad. I feel bad because she punished me here until I bought that little Ram. My truck, she drove my truck without air conditioner. She had to roll the windows down. You can't open it from the inside. You got to roll the window down, reach outside, pull the handle. You know, it's got its little quirks. It could be Catholic, I don't know. But anyway, she'll drive anything. I'm a little bougie for some reason. I don't know why. I'm trying to get over that. That's okay. It's okay that I got a problem with that. I'm going to tell you something else I got a problem with. I have a lot of pride. And I pray that the Lord humble me with mercy and grace. I don't just say, Lord, humble me. I don't just say, Lord, give me patience either. Brother Josh taught me that several years ago. We don't pray that, but we pray that the Lord humble us with mercy and grace. And I think my wife might attest to this, that some of my pride's getting better. I'm a work in progress. I'm just being honest with you. I'm hoping that me being honest with you will allow you to examine yourself. And it's okay. It's okay. Hey, if you got some sort of addiction, that's okay. I know where to take it. That's what called bearing one another's burdens are. Amen. 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 I know where we can go. If you're bothered and you need help with something, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, homosexuality, it doesn't matter. I mean, most preachers, they preach on drugs and alcohol. That's about it. Because that homosexuality word, we don't want to say that and offend nobody. It's wrong. It's a problem. Amen. Well, you can deal with it. I know where to go. I know where there's a no judgment zone. Amen. Amen? And it ought to be in the aisles of this church. It better be in the aisles of this church. If not, I know a leadership group that can help you out with that. I got Flyswatters at home that's got that metal coat hanger handle on it. Amen? If you're not treating your wife right, you got a problem with that. I know 10 men in this church that can handle that problem. But also know where it needs to come. It needs to come right here. Right here and lay it down. Lord, I need to love my wife like I love the church. My pride and arrogance and ego had me a hard time dealing with that for a long time. Until my wife, it's about this tall, made me feel about this tall. And I'm trying to do better. And I think she'll probably tell you I have gotten a lot better. I'm a work in progress. I still got a long way to go. I have not arrived. Amen? But I've asked the Lord to create in me a clean heart, just as David did. And I've asked the Lord to renew my mind. You know, when he was talking about Leviathan in chapter 40 of Job, he said, "Who can recognize his face?" And I thought about that statement that God made in the Word of God for a long time. Who could recognize his face? If you saw the devil, would you recognize him? Would you recognize him? Think about it now. The Bible says that he could look like an angel of light. Remember what we talked about that universal church earlier? They use all the right words. They use all the right words, but who can recognize his face? Who can recognize his face? Hey, think about this for a second. Again, we're all pretty good folks, ain't we, Brother Billy? I mean, we get up and go to work every day. I don't beat my wife. My wife would probably kill me. There's too many guns in the house. I don't beat her. I'm nice to her. I'm at home every night. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I don't gamble. I go to work. You know what? I'm a pretty good dude. Pretty good old boy. Yep, just a southern boy saved by grace. Hallelujah. But what about that pride and that arrogance? Yeah. What about that covetousness that nobody likes to talk about? What about that? You know, old-time preachers, if you got a problem with drinking, or you got a problem with drugs, you need to get right down here and get with God. But listen, there's a lot of other sins that we need to pay attention to. Who can know his face? If you don't have a renewed mind, you'll never recognize that face. You'll never recognize that face, and you'll lay up wood, hay, and stubble. The results of a new mind is clarity in God's will. That ye may prove what's right and holy and acceptable. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Y'all hear what I just said? In Isaiah taught us that he will keep him in perfect peace. He did not say that he would keep him in perfect peace on Sunday when he was around the brethren. He said, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee? Whose mind is stayed on thee? If you will put your mind on the Lord, that peace that passes all understanding. Oh my goodness. When life storms are raging, that peace that passes all understanding. The results of a new mind is clarity in God's will, stability in Christian living, and also victory over sin and fear. Amen. Listen here, we allow sin to beat us down. Remember what I said a while ago? Oh, man, boy, I tell you, I just ain't worthy. Yeah, yeah. When you didn't know the Lord, you wasn't worthy. But now He gave you the power to become a son of God. You have the power to become sons of God. You're worthy. You're worthy in Him. As long as your mind stayed on Him. Now listen, don't let that pride swell up in you now. Don't let that arrogance swell up in you. You can't do that. Whose mind is stayed on Him, he will keep in perfect peace. I know I got to hurry. So we have victory over sin and over fear. That victory is when Paul, when Peter stepped out of the boat and the storm came and the waves, they started crashing and he began to sink. What did he say? Lord, save me. And what happened? My Bible says, uses the King James Version says, immediately. Immediately. He may not pull you out of that storm. Listen here, he didn't pull Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of that fire. No, sir. He got in there and danced around with them a little bit. Hallelujah. He let them know, hey, everything that's going on is under my feet. Under my feet. If we'll remember that, hey, listen, when storms of life come, it makes life a lot easier. I'm not telling you that you'll never go through storms. I'm not telling you that you'll never have a bad day. I'm not telling you that you won't ever lose a loved one. I'm not telling you that you won't ever lose a limb. Hey, but I'll tell you this, when it does happen, you know where to take it. And you know who to allow to lead you through it. You know how to get your hands on that peace. It is a call to surrender the mind. God does not force renewal. He invites it. He's not just going to come in there, Brother David, when you accept Him as your Savior. He's not just going to come in there and be like, done. You're perfect. The renewal of your mind is a day after day after day after day building block. It's something that you have to decide that every day I'm going to crucify this flesh, give up my desires, and I'm going to allow Jesus to lead, guide, and direct me in the paths of righteousness so that I can follow Him. Why? Because you need that. Amen. Amen. That co-worker needs that. That little old gal or little young man at Publix that checks you out, they need that. They need that. Don't you get mad because your eggs break. I raise a lot of chickens, they'll make more. They running all over Brother Josh's yard. Hit Brother Kevin's too. I seen it earlier this afternoon. I didn't even realize Kevin had chickens. I drove by that house, there's like 50 of them out in the front yard. I'm like, I know where dinner's coming from. The altar is not only for the heart, but for the mind. Romans 8 and chapter 6, or chapter 8 and verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hey, wouldn't it make life a lot easier if we would just totally submit our minds to God? You see big time preachers, they fall. They fall. They made a mistake. No, they didn't. They got carnally minded, and they allowed the devil to move in. It happens. That's what happens when you don't stay your mind on Jesus. Every day, all day long. Start first thing in the morning, or to be the first thing you say, Lord, thank you for another day. Hallelujah. Give me souls for my hire. Let my life be on fire. Let me be a light on a shining hill for somebody. Without a renewed mind, you won't do that. You won't do that. You'll take the things that you want to do and you'll run with it. And you won't allow God to... I tell you what, I said this the other day in Sunday school. In Acts, there were Peter could... They were praying just for Peter to walk by and his shadow to go over them folks, so that they could be healed. Man, don't you want to be that close to God that the Holy Ghost just, when somebody walks up and gets close to you, their hair stands up on their arms and neck. Don't you want to be that way? Amen. I don't think some of you do. Don't you want to be that way? Amen. Man, think about it. Because it's not just how you look and how you act down here. It's His eternity depends on it. Their eternity depends on it. Our children. I've made a lot of mistakes in front of my children. A lot of years we put baseball before God. A lot of years we did that. And I've paid the price. We pay the price for that. Lord, I've asked for forgiveness for it. All I can do now is just move forward. Right? Just move forward. And we're going to try to teach and do the best we can. We still make mistakes. We're not perfect. Y'all ain't either, if you'll be honest with me. Right? So here's what we can do. We can begin our day with reading Scripture before we watch the news or scroll through Facebook. Read slowly and thoughtfully, not just for information, but for transformation. Read your Bible and study. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, not just read it. Not just read it so that you can tell Brother Josh, I read 10 chapters today and we only had to read 5. Look at me, how good I am. That's what we do. Y'all, it's okay. It's all right. Memorize key verses that confront wrong thinking. Memorize key verses that confront wrong thinking. Rightly divide the word of truth. Allow God to renew your mind. And I'll close with this question. What thought patterns need to be surrendered so God can renew your mind? What thought patterns do you have that you need to surrender to God so that God can begin a renewing work in your mind? Have your goal to be 1% better tomorrow than you are today. 1% close, just 1%. Just 1% closer to God tomorrow than you are today. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk, your holy book. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, God, that we've said something that would help somebody. Help us, Lord, that we would be better Christians tomorrow than we were today. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd lead, guide, and direct our steps, our tongues, our minds, and our hearts. Help us, Lord, that we could lead somebody to you. Oh, what a joy it would be for one sinner to be saved. How heaven rejoices, so would our hearts. Lord, we love you, and we thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these people. In Jesus' name, amen.